This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأوصيكم نفسي بتقوى الله تعالى، فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and he whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. Before I begin with the topic for today's message, inshallah, for all of you, I want to explain the fact that, you know, alhamdulillah, we're here in the masjid, but obviously the public is not able to be here with us. And I didn't know whether I should continue to do this live or not. And I heard from some people who said that when they see me on the minbar, even though the masjid is empty other than the staff, a handful of people here, that some people said that when they see me on the minbar, see me giving a khutbah, they feel even more desperate to be in the masjid, even more heartbroken that they're not in the masjid themselves. But I heard from other people that they said they feel more heartbroken to think that the masjid is completely empty, and that no adhan is being made and no salah is being prayed at all. And that at least by seeing that there is a adhan and there is a salah, they feel a little bit more content, even if they themselves cannot be there. And I feel that it's really important for us to have some normalcy as much as possible, as much as we can, when it comes to the day of Jum'ah. Even though it is not possible for the public to attend the masjid as of right now, we should maintain as much normalcy of Jum'ah as possible. And that means, even if you're at home and you cannot be in the masjid, to wake up in the morning, to recite Surah Al-Kahf as you normally would, to wear nice clothing, to, you know, perfume yourself as though you're going to the masjid, to call the people you would normally see at the masjid and make sure that they are doing okay, to do whatever it is that would be typically normal. And my hope of doing this live stream and being in the masjid and for you to be able to see it is that even if you can't be here, there's some normalcy to your Jum'ah. You can at least feel on some level like you are in the masjid, even though you are at home. And inshallah, you will pray 4 rak'ahs of dhuhr at the end of this, inshallah. Our discussion today is going to be about one of the pivotal ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us tremendous knowledge through his words. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Utitu jawami' al-kalim," that I was given the concise eloquence of speech. In that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could impart very grand amount of knowledge, a very comprehensive amount of knowledge in only a few words. And so some of the ahadith of the Prophet are incredibly short, yet from it we can extract books and books and volumes of information. Like the Prophet saying, "Ad-deenun nasiha," that religion is sincerity. From this you can extract books of knowledge and information. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ma taraka an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ta'irun yuqallibu bi janahihi fi as-sama'i illa dhakara minhu lana minhu 'ilma." He said the Prophet didn't leave anything, not even the bird flapping its wings in the sky, except that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us some knowledge from it. I.e. the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imparted all types of knowledge to the companions and to his ummah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us this really powerful form of advice when he was with his own cousin Abdullah ibn Abbas. And Abdullah ibn Abbas was only 12 years old or so at the time, a young adolescent boy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him over and he said, "Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat." He said, "Oh young boy, I will teach you kalimat, some words. i.e. what I'm going to teach you is going to be very short in length, very abridged, and yet it won't take much of your time. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling him ahead of time, this is going to be very short, and yet the meaning that the Prophet ﷺ imparts is that which is incredibly powerful. The first thing the Prophet says, احفظ الله يحفظك. Be mindful of Allah, Allah will be mindful of you. As you treat Allah, you are going to be treated. As you interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla will interact with you. And this is a principle that you see throughout the Quran. Allah says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Be mindful of me and I will be mindful of you. He says, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسْيَهُمْ. They forgot or they neglected Allah, so Allah neglected them. وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا. Allah says, they plotted a plot and Allah Himself plotted a plot as well. If you want to know your status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look to the status of Allah within yourself. So if you love Allah and what He decrees, and you're accepting of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that Allah azza wa jalla will be just as loving and accepting of you, if not more so. If the servant is mindful of Allah in their prayer, mindful of their fasting, mindful of Allah in raising their children, meaning that you're mindful of what Allah wants from you, you're mindful of what He has asked you to do, then know that Allah Azza wa Jalla will also be mindful of you. Allah will be mindful of you in terms of your health, and He will be mindful of you in terms of your wealth. He will be mindful of you in terms of your honor, in terms of your status, in terms of your family. He will be mindful of you in all of your affairs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the divine protection that He sends His servants throughout the Qur'an. لَهُمْ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِّنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah reminds us that He has successive angels before them and behind them that will protect them by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَيُرْسِلْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفِظًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send upon you protective angels, protection upon you. And so they are sent to help us and to protect us by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so if we ever find ourselves feeling unprotected, if we find our affairs are deteriorating, if we find that our situation is falling into ruin, that evil or oppression is following us or overcoming us, that the abuse of people is coming to us and to our doors, then we need to reflect over ourselves. Reflect over our place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. Allah says, they neglected Allah, so Allah neglected them. Ibn Kathir comments on this verse and he says, they forgot Allah and would not remember them. So He neglected them when they made dua to Him. And He would not heal them when they became ill. And He would not return to them after they have left Him. And He would not guide them when they had become lost. And this is the reality. What type of interaction do we want with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And one of the beautiful stories is that of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was a very just khalifa, and he was known for his justice. And while all the kings and khalifas before him had been corrupt, stealing money, giving them to his family, he had stood out as the one who refused to give anything to his family, and in fact gave back even more to the people than even you could argue that he needed to. He was a man of intense taqwa. And when he was on his deathbed, he had no money. And people came to him and said, at least take something for your kids. At least take a little bit of money. Nobody's going to say anything to you. Everybody has seen all the reforms and all the excellence you have done. Nobody's going to say anything if you take just a couple of dollars and give it to your children. And he said to them a very powerful statement. He said, my children, he said, I will not give them anything that is not their right, number one. And he said, my children are one of two people. Either they are people of taqwa or they are people of corruption. And he said, and if they are people of taqwa, then إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ. If they are people of righteousness, Allah is the one who takes care of those who are righteous. And if they are corrupt, there's nothing that I can give them that can avail them or help them. And then he passed away. And the person who recorded this statement, he said, I saw with my own eyes one of the corrupt kings who came after Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, that corrupt king's children. And I saw the children of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz decades later. He said, the children of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz had enough wealth that they were giving to other people. And the children of the corrupt king who was stealing money and giving it to his kids ended up being broke. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed showed these people exactly what Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was telling them. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will be mindful of you. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Be mindful of Allah, you will find Allah right before you. The blessings of being mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal is that Allah is mindful of you, but further than that, Allah will find you throughout your life. Allah will protect you throughout your life. The Prophet ﷺ mentions in the Hadith Qudsi that when Allah loves His servant, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يَبْصُرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهِ وَرِجْلُهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. That He says that when I love Him, I become His hearing with which He hears. I become His sight with which He sees. I become His hand with which He strikes and His feet with which He walks. Allah becomes your hearing, so you only hear that which helps you, which aids you, which strengthens you, and which beautifies your soul and draws you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You only hear and see and walk and touch that which Allah loves from you, and you stay away from the things that Allah wants to protect you from. One of the scholars mentions a beautiful story under this label of be mindful of Allah and you will find Allah before you. He mentions the story of a flood that happened in the city of Medina in the 1960s or so. And many of the houses and stores at that time were still made of, you know, the roads were still made of mud. And during these days, it was, you know, intense rainfall. And a man who had a store had to have his store closed because of the rainfall, and he couldn't earn any money. So he went to a person he knew had some money. And he went to his house and he said, "Can you loan me some money during this time?" So the man who he visited was really sick and was basically confined to his bed. And he reached over in his bedroom to a place where he had hidden his own money. And he opened it and he had some gold. And he took out some of the gold and he gave it to the man who was asking us a loan. And the man took it, but he saw where that money was. And later on, he had the intention to come back and to steal the remaining gold that the man was holding, the sick man had. So he came, the store owner came to steal this money at night. And he took the baby belonging to the man and he put it outside of the doorsteps of the house. So his wife, the sick man's wife, wakes up and she hears the baby crying outside of the door. So she knows someone came and took the baby outside. So she tells her husband, "Get up, let's leave." And the husband doesn't want to get up because he's incredibly sick. He says, "No, you go, and whatever happens, happens to me." But she forces him up. So he gets out slowly and they both leave the house to go and take the baby. They realize someone is in the house intending evil. And subhanAllah, as they stood outside of the house that day, the rain was so much that the ceiling of the house collapsed, collapsing upon the thief that was trying to steal from them. Be mindful of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be mindful of you. He forgot Allah, so Allah neglected him. And the husband and the wife were mindful of Allah, willing to give, you know, a loan to someone who was in need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them from every evil. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَمْتَ فَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask, ask of Allah, and if you rely, then rely upon Allah. Now someone might ask, what is the connection between our mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to now the Prophet telling Ibn Abbas, when you ask, ask of Allah, and when you rely, only rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the intelligent person will understand from this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani. Allah is without need. He is not in need of our worship. He's not in need of our mindfulness to begin with. But that when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you avoid the disobedience of Allah azza wa jal, you are only doing so with the help of Allah azza wa jal. Allah is the only one capable of helping you worship Him. He is the only one capable of helping you avoid His disobedience. So the servant has no choice but to ask the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to rely upon Allah azza wa jal. The Prophet said, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ قَوْلِي لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. He said, often say or increase in your saying of لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is no way and there is no power except through Allah. And if the believer understood this, he understands there's no way even for you to worship Allah. There's no way for you to even be mindful of Allah without Allah Azza wa Jalla allowing you to do so. And so how do we attain that mindfulness to begin with? You're constantly in your dua asking Allah to allow you to worship Him. That you're constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to be of His servants. That you're constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to be mindful of Him to begin with. This is the way of the believer to understand that your connection to Allah is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing you to be connected to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us about Prophet Yunus, وَلَتَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْذُومٌ. Do not be like the companion of the fish when he called out in distress. لَوْلَا أَنْ تَدَارَكَهُ نِعْمَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. Allah says, were it not for the blessing of his Lord,
i.e. he was saved because of the blessing of his Lord that reached him. And so Yusuf is not saved for his own privilege, his own virtue, but because of the grace and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the slave of Allah who wants to be mindful of Allah azza wa jalla, mindful of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows that he has no choice but to constantly ask Allah of his favor, constantly ask Allah of his mercy, constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. Like the poetry of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, "Wallahi lawla Allah mahtadina wa la tasaddaqna wa la sallina fa anzilanna as-sakinata alaina wa thabbit al-aqdama in laqina." That he said, "Without you, O Allah, we would have gotten no guidance, nor would we have given charity, nor would we have prayed. So please, Allah, bless us with your tranquility and make our feet firm." There is no salah that we can do. There is no fasting we can do. There is no dhikr we can do without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And particularly today, as we are constantly, I'm looking at an empty masjid and you are not able to join us here, realize we cannot do anything without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the things that we take for granted, like coming to the masajid, we cannot do that without Allah azza wa jalla giving us His permission. And for that reason, it is incredibly important that we are constantly asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَوَلَّ اللَّهَ مَحْتَدَيْنَا وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا. Were it not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not have guidance, nor would we give charity, nor would we even be able to pray. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reminds us, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask, ask of Allah, and if you rely, rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one of the narrations of this particular hadith, he says, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرَفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ease, in times of ease, and He shall know you in times of hardship. Knowing Allah, recognizing Him, realizing your need for Him, turning to Him in times of hardship is something that all people can do. It's something that all people can do. Even the kuffar of Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَإِذَا رَكَبُوا فِي الْفَلْكِ دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. That when they were aboard their ship and the ship was going to collapse, they called to Allah with sincerity. They called to Allah, not to their idols or not to anything else, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and purely. And he says that they said, لِنْ أَنْجَانَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. That they cried out to Allah and they said, "Oh Allah, if you save us now, we will be of those who are grateful." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the example of two men in the Qur'an. Both of them in the same situation. Both of them struck with hardship. Both of them mentioned even in the same surah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the example of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, swallowed by the whale in the depth of the ocean, crying out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. That He's saying, none has the right to be worshipped other than you. You are the one who is perfect, and I am those who have been oppressive. And as He's calling out this desperate call from the belly of the whale, in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of the sea, eaten up by the acid, stomach acid of the whale, and He's calling out to Allah in this desperate scenario, in this desperate situation. And in Musnad Bazar, there is a narration that some of the angels turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, قالت الملائكة رب صوت ضعيف معروف. That, oh Allah, this is a sound of a voice that we know, coming from a place we don't know. The voice of this person is a voice that we know. But we don't know where it's coming from. It's coming from a land we don't recognize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أتعرفون من هو؟ أتعرفون من ذلك؟ Don't you know who this is? And the angel says, who is it, O Allah? And Allah says, قَالَ عَبْدِي يُونَسِ. He says, this is my servant Yunus. They recognized his voice. They knew what his voice sounded like. Why? Because of all the dua he normally makes. Because of all of the dhikr he normally makes. Because in times of ease, he was constantly asking Allah, constantly begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly asking Allah, turning to Allah, glorifying Allah, praising Allah. So in the time of hardship, when he's calling out, the angels are saying, O Allah, we know this voice. We've heard this voice before. This is a voice we've heard often calling out to you. And then they said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, this is your servant Yunus. And O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, won't his good deeds in times of ease save him from his difficulty? Ya Rab, awala tarham man kana yasna'uhu fir rakha fatunjihim. في البلاء. That, oh Allah, isn't all the good that he did in times of good going to save him from these times of evil? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says yes, and Allah saves him from the belly of the whale. And in that same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the example of Fir'aun. He says, حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلُ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah mentions the state of this man thrown into the water as well, calling out to Allah for help, saying, now I believe that there's none with the right to be worshipped other than the God of Bani Israel. And I am of those who have believed. And Jibreel, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلْآنَ وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Is it now that you're going to believe? Even though before you have been disobedient and you are of those who are corrupt. Allah says, now you want to believe. After we gave you chance after chance, sign after sign, miracle after miracle, while you were living your life of ease and comfort, and you refused to recognize Allah. And now in the moment of hardship you want to believe? فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. Allah says, now we will save you in your body, preserve you in your body, that you may be a sign for all those who come after you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he spoke about Yunus, he says, لولا أنه كان من المسبحين للبث في بطنه إلى يوم يبعثون. Allah says, as for Yunus, were it not that he had been of those who exalted Allah, that he exalted Allah in times of ease, للبث في بطنه, he would have remained in the stomach of that, in the belly of that whale until the day of resurrection. What saved him from that hardship? That he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of ease. But if we know Allah when our life is good, when you know Allah, when He has blessed you, then you reach the stations of the prophets. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day and all night, until his feet is cracking and bleeding. And Aisha saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you doing this? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ. Why are you worshipping Allah to this extent when Allah has already forgiven your sins, that which has come and that which has passed? And the Prophet ﷺ said, قَالَ أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a servant who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Know Allah in ease, and He will know you in hardship. And this is something for us to take into account as we look at the difficulties faced now. What good did we do in times of ease? And certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the hardship that we are currently living in to pass. And times of ease will come again in the future. And what will you do in those times of ease? What will your relationship be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those times of ease? And whatever difficulty we're facing in today, there is ease in our livelihood. We have free time, a lot of us. We have our family, we have our health. What are you doing with the ease that Allah has given you today so that Allah can know you in times of true hardship? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. That know that if all the creation were to gather together to benefit you with something, they can only benefit you with that which Allah has already written for you. And if they gather to harm you with something, they can only harm you with that which Allah has written for you. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. All of our affairs are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. Indeed, all things we created are with predestination. وَكُلُّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ مُسْتَطِرٍ. And indeed, every small and great thing has been inscribed. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are with His decree. And how many people were confronted with those who wanted to harm them, but were incapable of harming them? Or found those who wanted to help them or raise them, but were unable to do so? Allah, the affair of the believer is with Allah alone. And the believer needs to know this. And to know that our benefit and our harm comes through Allah alone. And that the only true power is with Allah alone. And that our hearts should not then turn to anyone other than Him alone. And that our dua should be directed to Him alone. And that our reliance should be with Him alone. It's, you know, no matter what the people can do, they cannot change what Allah Azza wa Jalla has decided. And the Prophet says, لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْأُمَّةِ. If the ummah has gathered, and what he means by the ummah is everything, i.e. every single human being ever created from the beginning of time to the end, and every angel ever created, and every devil ever created, and every jinn ever created, if all of them were to come together and conspire, they could not decree anything unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed it. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. He says, seek that which will benefit you. Work and do the things that will benefit you. And rely upon Allah and do not refrain yourself. Do not refrain yourself. Meaning the believer knows that all affairs are decreed, and that does not mean to stop working or doing. Rather, your job as the believer is to work and to seek the benefit and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet continues in the same hadith. He said, "When أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٍ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعِلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا." He said, if something bad happens to you, never say, if only I did this or if only I did that. Rather say, قَدَرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. Rather say, this is the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and what He wanted happened. For indeed, لَوْ أَن, for indeed, if only, is the words of shaitan. Shaitan wants to bring you regret. Shaitan wants to bring you the capacity to feel bad and sorrow and regret. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell you, things are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so do your part and trust Allah and don't regret. Don't say, if only I did this, this would have happened. If only I did that, that would have happened. And this is the way of the believer. Instead say, this is the decree of Allah, and what He has done, He has willed. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ, that indeed the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. So there is no reason to grieve if the affairs are with Allah. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for our hearts to attach to Him, to be patient for His sake, to seek the reward of that patience with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.